traced a progression in which one might start out with a strategy to do some sort of welfare activity that the public would appreciate. So the beginning is that you say, well, this is not really our work, but we're going to do it to get some public sympathy or appreciation. So then the next stage is that you have to preach to your people to do it. So then they start thinking, yes, actually, this is very good work that we're doing. Then the next stage is that even the leaders start to think, yes, this is our work. This is what Krishna wants us to do, or this is what Lord Chaitanya wants us to do. And that, I said, was the mature stage. But dear Govinda Prabhu pointed out to me after the class yesterday that there's still a further stage. When it develops to the ultimate stage, then the followers and the leaders say, whether or not this is what Lord Chaitanya wants us to do, it's essential, we've got to do it. People are in need, they're desperate, we have to help them. So whether Krishna wants it or not, we're going to do it. Whatever Prabhupada said, whatever Krishna said, forget it. This is essential. That's the ultimate stage. Okay. Which it reaches. Which it has historically reached. People start off with a little compromise, a little compromise, a little more compromise, and at the end, this is the point they come to. Well, any god that wouldn't support this. Okay. Since we're talking about compromise, I have some statements on the subject from Srila Prabhupada that you may find of interest. This is a letter of 1969. Yesterday evening we had a very good meeting in Harvard University, and many students and professors attended. There were nice discussions, and they are convinced that our activities are genuine and for the real welfare of the human society. And actually it is so. We are not adulterating the transcendental message with any mundane rubbish. If we stick to the principles of Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, and the Goswamis, then surely they will appreciate. This is a quotation from the Harmonist, from the Harmonist, 1927. It is necessary at the outset to caution the reader against the theory of vox populi, vox dei. The Harmonist has nothing to do with vox populi. Her only concern is with vox dei. Now, that means vox populi is the populi, is the voice of the people. So the voice of the people is the voice of God. And the Harmonist says, rubbish, we're not concerned with public opinion. Let them think whatever they want. We're concerned with what God wants. Prabhupada told the story about a man, a boy, and a horse. You know the story? It's a story about what happens when you try to please people. There was a man and a boy and a horse, and the man and boy came into town riding on the horse. And people started saying, just see that poor horse. The man and the boy are both riding on it. The poor horse looks so tired. So then the man thought, oh, this isn't very good. So the next time he rode into town, and he had the boy on the horse, and he was walking. So then the people started saying that, just see the foolish man. He's put the boy on the horse, and he's walking. The boy should have had respect, the old man. So still they were criticizing. So then the next time they came in, and this time the man rode on the horse, and the boy was walking, and the people started saying, just see this cruel man, he's riding on the horse and the boy's walking. Not child abuse. Report him to the ministry. So then they came to the next town and they decided, all right, then we'll both walk. So they came into the town, the horse and the boy and the man, and the people said, just see these foolish people, they have a horse and they're both walking. You can't please people. It's just not possible. If you try to please everyone, it'll never work. This is to Brahmananda, 1967, Lord Chaitanya was eulogized by Rupa Goswami as the latter understood that Lord Chaitanya was there to distribute Krishna consciousness, the only gift for the humanity at large. Lord Chaitanya wanted that the message should be distributed in every village and town of the globe. Let us do this service as far as possible in all seriousness. We cannot make any compromise with anyone for cheap popularity. And still another one, 1973. When my Guru Maharaj was present, even big scholars were afraid to talk with his beginning students. My Guru Maharaj was called Living Encyclopedia. He could talk with anyone on any subject. He was so learned. So we should be like that as far as possible. No compromise. Ram, Krishna, avatars, yogis, everyone was enemy to Guru Maharaj. He never compromised. Some God brothers complained that this preaching was chopping technique and it would not be successful. But we have seen that those who criticized, they fell down. For my part, I have taken up the policy of my Guru Maharaj, no compromise. All these so-called scholars, scientists, philosophers who do not accept Krishna are nothing more than rascals, fools, lowest of mankind, etc. There was a proposal back in 1971 for some rehabilitation centers, that ISKCON could start some rehabilitation centers. So far as the rehabilitation center is concerned, such work can be taken up, but to have any separate institution apart from the temple is not possible. Youth work can be taken up, but our process must be strictly followed. Anyone may come, but our process must remain the same. The men are expected to shave their heads and wear robes. They must attend classes, read our books, chant 16 rounds, attend aarti, go for street sankirtan, take prasadam only, etc. To have any institution apart from the temple, that we cannot do. Everything must be in the scope of our activities. Then this youth problem can be solved. Our process is proven as the only effective means. If the government or any other organization gives us a place, then we can train up such youth in our own way, and surely they will come out sane. That place given will be a temple. So the process remains the same, except on a larger scale. Not that there's a separate division of ISKCON to handle youth problem, but that we have a bigger temple to accommodate them, that's all. And the people will see, practically, how we are doing the highest welfare work. So that's another example of Srila Prabhupada's no compromise policy. Yes, we'll have a rehabilitation center. It's called a temple. To Kurandhar. Sorry, that one was to Rupa Nuga Prabhu. Date was... April 11th, 1971. That one's to Jagadish, quoting a letter to Rupa Nuga, actually. In another place. Anyway, I don't even have to multiply quote upon quote. You get the idea. I'll just read one more. The fact is that I am the only one in India who is openly criticizing not only demigod worship and impersonalism, but everything that falls short of complete surrender to Krishna. My Guru Maharaj never compromised in his preaching, nor will I, nor should any of my students. That's 30th December 1971, Sukhiri Raj Maharaj. Okay. That's Prabhupada's policy, no compromise policy. Now, we ran a little bit behind. We had some questions from yesterday. Were there some questions that people wanted to ask? that we got cut off from because of time constraints. Yes. Microphone, please. Mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. The presentation is very interesting. There was any doubt. But the one thing which puzzles many of Prabhupada's and other devotees also is his statement, which we talked yesterday, or before yesterday. The Prabhupada says, no one should get hungry. So that expression, hungry, seems to imply that Prabhupada is concerned for hungry people, not only for peaceful, prasadam, rich, and poor.
No one should go hungry.
Yeah, Prabhupada's concerned for their hunger. Just like these people, he's concerned they should be rehabilitated. I gave the example yesterday, he was concerned that those children should have clothes. But his concern was not, oh, the children of Bombay have no clothes, no proper clothes. His concern was when people come to the temple, they should get, those children should get nice cloth. His concern was that his idea was distribution of prasadam at the temple should be so profuse that for miles around there'll be no hunger problem. Not that Prabhupada was thinking, we have to have, why 10 miles then? Why not 20 miles, 50 miles, 100 miles? Why there should be no hunger in America? It's not that Prabhupada was an anti-hunger welfare worker. But he was for setting up a temple I mentioned yesterday means darshan, kirtan, philosophy, lecture, books, and prasadam. So the idea is that where there's a temple, there should be no hunger because everyone knows I can come to the temple, I'll get prasadam. And then at the temple, every one of my problems is solved. I can live there. If I'm willing to do service, I can get my everything. And we'll talk more about how Prabhupada envisioned such arrangements when we talk about the Hyderabad Farm Project. Nobody should be unhappy within 10 miles of the temple, but it doesn't mean that we're going to become like psychiatric welfare workers or, you know, that. Yes. Yes, yes. Pass that microphone, please. Because Prabhupada definitely said, don't go here and there. Where there's think. The other way you can take it, if you want to take it, that Prabhupada wanted to make sure that we have to make sure within a 10-mile radius no one goes hungry, then go out and distribute books and chant Hare Krishna and distribute prasadam for 10 miles this way, that way. We read that quotation yesterday. Prabhupada told Balavanta, go with your bullock carts 10 miles in this direction, 10 miles in that direction, distribute books, preach, do Sankirtan. So if you're really serious about this, that no one should go hungry, then take the whole package and go 10 miles this way, 10 miles that way, distribute books, chant Hare Krishna, distribute prasadam, and you'll never hear a bad word from me about it. It's the whole same thing Prabhupada said here. Not that we're going to do a separate institution, a separate process, all rehabilitation, show, make some show. Temple. So similarly, our prasadam distribution doesn't mean we become welfare workers, we go out, we feed the poor. It means, Prabhupada said, that you do where the, either at the temple you distribute prasadam or where we go for Sankirtan. Let me ask you this. Why should there be prasadam distribution for 10 miles in every direction and no chanting of the holy name? That's worse starvation. That's worse starvation. Srila Prabhupada, is it all right if everyone's fed for 10 miles in every direction and there's no Harinam? Is that okay? If no one's hungry and there's no Harinam, is that all right? What sort of answer do you think you'll get? You're not doing distribution? No, but Srila Prabhupada, but no one's hungry for 10 miles. Is that our mission fulfilled? We have a package. Hare Krishna, prasadam, kirtan, books, whole thing. Yes?
My question was more that I already answered by you, but I just say somebody had to be paid for it. It was also a quote of Srila Prabhupada that he wanted, especially that the rice and grains and people, that they should make kidri from this and travel from village to village to distribute this. But he didn't mention, also chant to go.
I don't think I've seen that quotation. Where is this one?
I can show you, but this
Special Commission don't speak about Aina, he's just speaking about disagreement.
I'd have to see the context. Go, to whom was it written?
I don't know, somebody gave a sheet yesterday, it was like,
you should also read this. If I get the place, the person, anything by which I can get a folio hit on it, I'll give you an answer.
Sure what you said is also very clear. I'm sure probably in the only moment.
Like if Prabhupada wrote to Lokanath Maharaj, for example, who was heading up the Padayatra, distribute rice, distribute khichdi, distribute dal, because he was already distributing Hare Krishna, now distribute these things also along with it. You know, so just that there's a quotation doesn't mean a whole lot to me until I see what the context is. And that's, in fact, something that I'm going to talk about next. But you have some questions. Mm-hmm.
Are you?
Hare Krishna.
Thinking more in the sort of a practical context for the temple.
Okay.
And taking into account the very wonderful quotes yesterday heard that simultaneously with prasad distribution there should be kirtan, philosophy, etc. Sometimes we find in the context of temples that there's not enough.
A little loud and distinct.
A little loud and distinct.
Yes, of course. So we find sometimes in the temples that there is not enough manpower to actually execute this wholesome function of prasad distribution, kirtan, philosophy, etc. In that sort of case, what would be your advice to those devotees?
My advice would be to examine your priorities. What is your purpose? Or I'd examine Srila Prabhupada's priorities. What did he most emphasize again and again and again and again? You know, what was the main thing he wanted our temples, our devotees, our movement to do? Then if you find that it's, you know, well, we don't have manpower, so we're going to give out food through the Salvation Army, but it's going to be prasadam. If that's what you find. Did I read that quotation yesterday, by the way, about giving out food through the Salvation Army? When we were talking about programs? That's one of our ISKCON programs. You'll be interested to know. I missed that one, huh? This is from a website. Oh, yes, I did mention it. I think I did, but anyway. This is from an ISKCON website here in Europe. The date on the website is April 2001. Since February 1993, we have given free food from a street site near the city center every Friday. This year, we started working with other organizations like the Salvation Army, Legion of Mary, and Vincent de Paul, giving them cooked meals and fruits and vegetables, which they distribute to hostel residents or the needy within the community. Isn't that nice? Pardon me?
Is there already phase two?
I'll let you decide. But I know that such programs are going on and have been going on in more than one ISKCON center.
Firstly, the program itself cannot, does not have enough manpower to actually fulfill its criteria.
Right.
And so to some degree that it's not worth actually distributing prasadam.
I would say that you have to examine your priorities. If you have 100 men, you can have 100 departments. If you have 2 men, 3 men, you have to say, well, what's most important to us? What do we most want to do? So usually in such a, or you can look and say, well, when Prabhupada had 2 men, 5 men, what did he do? He started a temple. He had regular kirtan, prasadam, lecture. He spent the whole money that he had to purchase some mimeograph presses and start printing back to Godhead. He sent the devotees out in the streets to do that. If you look at, as they say, the preponderance of the evidence, see what Prabhupada pushed again and again and again. If you see like 10,000 quotes, no one should go hungry, we must feed people, they're hungry, and you see 10 or 15 quotes, please distribute my books, well, you know what your priority is. And if you see it the other way, you also know what your priority is. So Prabhupada wanted us to do everything, but as you can. And as we were reading the other day, that Prabhupada wrote to Giriraj Maharaj, distribute prasadam from our temple. That's doable. Even if you have two or three, in Olachua they had like two people, and they were Gainesville, and still they were carrying on their prasadam distribution program from the temple or right down the street.
So the idea is that prasadam suffers the master philosophy in Kirtan.
Pardon me?
I said the idea is that prasadam softens these people up, and basically the philosophy of the Kirtan can then do its work.
Well, yeah, the prasadam softens people up so that the philosophy and the kirtan can do the work. But since you don't have enough people, you're not going to have the kirtan and the philosophy. So all you're going to have is these nice softened up people.
So again, prasadam is not...
Pardon me?
Prasadam is just part of the picture. It's not...
It's just part of the picture, exactly. We're not the International Society for Prasadam Distribution in the form of food. It's Krishna consciousness. And in Krishna consciousness, prasadam is... very, very important, but it's not the whole picture. And when you look at Srila Prabhupada, what Prabhupada emphasized the most as far as our preaching, what was it? Again? Anyone want to quarrel with that? Right. Prabhupada most emphasized distribution of books, and he also emphasized prasadam. Everything's there, nothing's unimportant. But when you look at it, at what Prabhupada pushed again and again, it was book distribution. Okay? Yes? Then I'm going to go on with my agenda after this question.
I was very impressed by this quote from Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj.
Which slower?
This quote from Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj.
Oh, yeah.
So it could be also said that this also like something like a college that is coming up now, the same, you know, like...
I don't, of course, I missed the seminar about the college, but my understanding is that the college is not just to impress people, but it's to train our men in our philosophy and in the principles of our movement. I don't, without seeing the brief, if it's just to create a show, then it's worthless. If it's actually to create spiritual training in our men, then it's very valuable. Knowing the people involved, I suspect that it's the second. And if it also impresses some people, that's very nice. They will be impressed. When we do what we're supposed to do, people will be impressed. And if we try to do what impresses people, we'll be finished.
Well, I don't know how to formulate this, but in Amsterdam, we have a problem that many bums get in. So what we do, we feed them.
Many bums?
People.
Yeah.
And so what we do feed them, but we say, please stay outside.
Yeah, that's nice. You know, not that everyone, a guy's falling down drunk, smelly, dirty, then you may not invite him into the temple. They say bad money drives away good money. So those kind of people will drive away any respectable person. But still you can be merciful to him. Here's the back door, and here's a plate of prasadam, Hare Krishna. That's nice. That means you're merciful and intelligent. Yeah, Harinam also. If you look, it's not like, oh, we're just supposed to distribute books and Harinam isn't important. Or, one time, Prabhupada was pushing book distribution so hard, he said that you can close the temple, leave one person behind to worship the deity, everyone take prasadam once in the morning, everybody go out and distribute books, and in the evening come back again and take prasadam. Prabhupada was pushing so hard. Then, devotees got so much in the spirit that they cut back on the Sunday feast. They were having two preparations, and everybody was out distributing books. And Prabhupada got the word. He said, what is this? He said, there should be sumptuous prasadam. There should be, so many things. So it's not, Prabhupada, sometimes when he's asked, what should we do, this or this? Prabhupada said, do everything. So it's not that we become so single-minded that we start knocking out important parts of our program. But we should know where our priorities lie. Next comes a mini section from a course I've given and that Bhaja Bihari Prabhu is still giving in Vrindavan about straight thinking. You'll find the same points in an introduction to the folio Vedavase concerning what constitutes a proper argument and what constitutes the proper use of quotations. Because we find a quotation, and a quotation is proof. it's proof. It's a Prabhupada said, and if Prabhupada said, that's it. Your argument is made. So there's, in this regard, or in regard to prasadam distribution, there are a lot of quotations trotted out to prove that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to send teams of prasadam distributors to the barrios, to the disaster areas. But the quotations, and some of them were there yesterday on that folder that you may have, some of you may have seen, a glossy folder from one of our temples in South India. Some of the quotations, or the quotations usually, suffer from certain deficiencies. And here they are. Number one, sometimes they don't prove the point. A quote showing that Srila Prabhupada wanted us profusely to distribute prasadam does not prove that Prabhupada wanted us to go to the poor areas or to the disaster areas. It's simply a non-proof. All it proves is what there's no argument about. Everyone knows, we all agree, that prasadam should be distributed profusely. That's not the question. So when you drag out a quote that shows that, the proper response is, okay, so what? It's besides the point. The second trick in quoting is to take a quote and pull it out of context. When it's out of context, it proves what you want, and when you put it back in context, it doesn't anymore. And the third thing is that sometimes, okay, you've got a quote, okay, it says what you want, but it's like an offhand remark, or it's in a context where it just doesn't carry the same weight as the very forceful quotations, very explicit directions that we read yesterday. Now, I'll give you an example of what I mean. Here's a letter from someone. There's ample evidence from Srila Prabhupada endorsing prasadam distribution away from the temples to the poor and needy and distressed situations. You just need to search Prabhupada's letters and books. It really ticks me off when devotees start quoting Prabhupada to support their totally insensitive feelings toward the needy. Don't they have any service to keep their minds occupied? Give them this to read. Okay, now we'll give them this to read. I'm not telling. Prasadam distribution outside the temples. Although Srila Prabhupada emphasized the need for the temples to be places where anyone and everyone could come and take prasadam, he also encouraged devotees to go out from the temples so that even more people could get the opportunity to taste Krishna prasadam. Which of course is true. The following references provide evidence to support this idea. Quote 1. If we can widely distribute free foodstuffs to the people of India by giving it out at our centers, as well as our traveling parties to villages, we will win over the whole country and the whole world by this activity on Krishna's behalf. Okay, now this is quote number one to show that Prabhupada wanted us to go to the needy areas and distribute to the poor people and the people in disaster areas. I guess I'll read them all and then we'll go back to them. In 1966, during a lecture in New York, Srila Prabhupada clearly outlines his plan for mass prasadam distribution. Quote, everywhere, in the hospitals, charitable societies, industrial places, everywhere, distribute this prasadam and chant this Hare Krishna. Just see what is the result. You want peace? These are the processes of peace. Next. In this famous purport to the story of Sivananda Sen, Srila Prabhupada takes the opportunity to stress that everyone should be given the opportunity to experience Krishna Prasad, and not just those who visit the temples. Ordinarily, a dog would not be allowed into a temple of Vishnu, and so would hardly get a chance to receive Krishna Prasad. However, through the causeless mercy of the Lord's devotee, a dog actually achieves the Vaikuntha planets, because of having received the Lord's prasad. Such is the power of sadhu sangha. Srila Prabhupada comments, All our devotees in the ISKCON community should become pure Vaishnavas so that by their mercy, all the people in the world will be transferred to Vaikuntha Loka, even without their knowledge. Everyone should be given a chance to take prasad and thus be induced to chant the holy names of Hare Krishna and also dance in ecstasy. By these three processes, although performed without knowledge or education, even a dog went back to Godhead. Now, these are pretty good quotes. They're legitimate quotations from Srila Prabhupada. Now, let's take a look and see how far they go in proving that Srila Prabhupada endorsed prasadam distribution away from the temples to the poor and needy in distressed situations, which is what the author is trying to demonstrate. First, let's look at the quotation, the letter to Satyajit, or the quote, the first quotation, which was, here it is. Maybe this is it. Now I am especially concerned to distribute grains, rice, and wheat in the form of dal and rice prasadam to hungry people all over India. That's it, huh? Okay, I got your quote too. Good, we get two in one. We shall read the letter in its entirety as an example of taking a quotation out of context. Dear Satyajit, please accept my blessings. I am pleased to hear you have been preaching among the Gujarat community in Panama City and that they are sympathetic to our movement. We see now at our function in Vrindavan that hundreds of members are attending from all parts of the world. In this way, our movement is unique. Not just the people of India are hearing about Krishna, but from all countries they are joining and becoming Vaishnavas by chanting Hare Krishna mantra and refraining from the pillars of sinful activities. This was Lord Chaitanya's desire, that the holy name be heard in every town and village. Now I am especially concerned to distribute grains, rice, wheat in the form of dal and rice prasadam to hungry people all over India. The people here are very disturbed because partly due to the punishment of nature and partly due to the mismanagement of the demon class of men, food is not available. If the people do not even have sufficient food, they will not even be able to receive spiritual instructions. So I am hopeful that if we can widely distribute free foodstuffs to the people of India by giving it out at our centers, as well as by traveling parties to villages, we will win over the whole country and the whole world by this activity on Krishna's behalf. That little last part was what was quoted before. You write that members of the Gujarat community would like to contribute $10,000 toward a temple there. But at this time, I think the money could be better spent by contributing to shipping grains to India for distribution. I think if they wish to donate for this noble project, they can send money directly to the following account: ISKCON Mayapur Vrindavan Trust, account number 668, Punjab National Bank, Vrindavan Mathura, UP, India. Your ever well-wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Now, when you put this quotation back in context, it's written apparently to the temple president or senior devotee in Panama City, where he found a sizable Gujarati community willing to contribute $10,000 to constructing a temple in Panama. And what Srila Prabhupada is saying here in essence is, we don't need a temple in Panama right now. I have another program. Take the money. That's all right. And here's what you can say to the people. People are hungry. We have a great desire to feed them. They can't even get spiritual instructions. So take that $10,000, ship it to this account. And we know from the history that we read yesterday, what did Srila Prabhupada do with the money put in that account? Someone? Used it to distribute prasadam, big scale, in Mayapur. So really what Srila Prabhupada is asking here is take the money for the temple and use it for prasadam distribution in Mayapur. When you look at how Prabhupada actually spent the money, it's not that he sent relief workers to distressed areas all over India. He distributed prasadam large scale in Sridham Mayapur. And he also wrote, the head of Sridhar Mayapur, Jayapataka Maharaj, co-head, that when we go with our kirtan parties in different directions, they should distribute prasadam. People are hungry. Give them prasadam, give them kirtan, give them, and that was also there, that Lord Chaitanya's mission is to distribute the holy name. So give them all of these four things. It's not a letter saying, dear such and such, we have to go out to the barrios, we have to go out to the earthquake places and the cyclone places and distribute prasadam to the needy people. It's a letter directed at getting 10,000 bucks out of this proposed temple in Panama and into the Mayapur Vrindavan food distribution account. Any question about that? Any argument? Any doubt? Okay. Nice to have quotations in context, isn't it? And nice to see what you can do when you take them out of context, isn't it? The next was that quotation from New York, where Srila Prabhupada clearly outlines his plans for mass prasadam distribution by saying everywhere, in the schools, the colleges, the institutions. The question here is whether these three sentences from a lecture in December 1966, 6 months after Srila Prabhupada started at 26 Second Avenue, really outweighs the explicit instruction written to Giriraj in 1972, or Upendra, or Jayapataka Maharaj in 1976. What do you think? Prabhupada's lecturing and saying, yes, there should be distribution everywhere, here and there and here and there, in 1966. And then in 1976, he's giving very explicit instructions. Don't go to the emergency places. Don't go to the poor areas. Don't put this thing about the needs of the sick, the poor, and the orphans in the Fiji Constitution. Don't go to the emergency spot. But this is all, you can set this aside, because in 1966, in the midst of a lecture, Prabhupada gave three sentences where he said, there should be prasadam distribution everywhere, in all the institutions and all the factories. And those three sentences clearly outline Prabhupada's plans for mass prasadam distribution. Does it work? Is it for real? Okay. Another questionable use of a quotation. Not only does it not clearly outline Prabhupada's plans for mass distribution of prasadam, it certainly doesn't demonstrate that Prabhupada wanted us to go out from the temples to the needy areas and the disaster areas. It doesn't at all demonstrate that. Quotations are supposed to demonstrate what they actually demonstrate, and not something else. Otherwise, the living entity has four defects. What are those four defects? Imperfect senses, tendency to make mistakes, tendency to fall into illusion, and cheating propensity. Now, this is a manifestation of the cheating propensity. When we take a quotation or a series of quotations and pull them out of context or blow them up out of proportion to make them prove something that they were never meant to prove. Then the next one, the story about Shivananda Sen, says that everyone should be given a chance to chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam. Now, is there any argument about that? Is there any problem with that? Is anyone saying that people shouldn't be given, that everyone shouldn't be given a chance to chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam?
Sometimes they have this saying that if the snake takes the milk, it becomes even more poisonous.
The snake takes the milk, it becomes more poisonous, but we don't use that. We don't use that in relation to prasadam distribution. We'll feed the snakes too. From a distance. We don't really have an argument. Nobody's getting up and saying, no, everyone shouldn't get Krishna prasadam. No, don't give prasadam freely. Everyone should be given a chance to chant Hare Krishna and take Krishna prasadam. That's what the quotation says. That's what we all agreed on to begin with anyway. That's different from saying that you should go out to the emergency spots and the poor areas. Again, a quotation that doesn't demonstrate what it's supposed to demonstrate. Apart from that, if you want to further take it, you can take it as evidence that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to start a food for dogs program. Shivananda Sen was merciful even to a dog. Why shouldn't we be merciful to the dogs? Why only the human people, human beings? Vidya vinaya sampanye brahmane kavihashtini. Food for dogs, key! This is what you can do with quotations. Quotations should be taken in context and not screwed out to mean something else. The same person wrote after some discussion on the topic, "I guess what disturbs me is that every time there's an emergency relief effort, a certain group of devotees want to philosophize about whether we should do anything about it. Meanwhile, people are dying." Got to admit, he's right. People are dying. People will continue to die. In this, he's correct. And he's also correct that a certain group of us are going to philosophize. We are going to see what our philosophy said, what our spiritual master said, and whether what we propose to do is what is in line with what our spiritual master said. Okay. I'll pull a couple of more quotations. Oh, here's one. "India is now practically without food grains on account of, partially, nature's punishment, and partially, the hoarding plan of the rogues. We wish to distribute cooked foods, such as rice, dal, and chapatis, to as many hungry men as possible." So it's another similar letter, like the one to Satyahi. It doesn't really say anything new, just distribute prasadam. As usual, when you read the whole letter, he's asking for funds for prasadam distribution in India, which we know means Mayapur. And finally, the recipient was a person known as Taittiriya Dasi. Anyone who knows the history of this very colorful person would have, well, we won't say more about it, but it makes it a very curious letter to quote. There's another one. This appears in some propaganda we read. "In Bombay, there are many generous persons who like food distribution programs, and actually our temple should be the via media for feeding the poor with food and spiritual knowledge." Now, that's a powerful quotation, and it does seem to validate the idea that we should be doing poor feeding programs, that our temple, in fact, should be like centers for distributing prasadam to the poor. Right? Any problem with that? Is that what the letter, in fact, seems to indicate? Yes?
He also said, simultaneously, in the monks, like, we're not standing alone.
That's true, but when you look at the letter itself, it says that there should be, that there are generous men who like food distribution programs, and our temple should be feeding the poor. And yes, you said, you're right, it does say, and spiritual knowledge. Good, you've caught one thing. Anything else about it? Okay, I'll tell you the something else. The recipient of the letter was Giriraj Swami. The date of the letter was April 23rd, 1972. And 3 weeks later, Prabhupada wrote that letter to Giriraj Swami. "Our program, therefore, is that we offer prasad to everyone. So far, prasad distribution, it is not a question of rich or poor. That will be karmakanda. Make our temple so nice that everyone who comes is offered some prasad. Not that we are after poor men. Do not go to the poor areas. That is not our philosophy." So there's a principle in argumentation that the later quotation knocks out the previous one, all things being equal, which sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're not, but in this case it clearly is. Prabhupada gave an instruction, distribute prasad, get those poor feeding programs going. When it came time for clarification 3 weeks later, to the same person, Srila Prabhupada said, that means distribute from our temple, distribute prasadam there, don't go to the poor areas, don't go to the barrios, don't go to the emergency spots, don't do all this stuff. Make our temple, the via media means you come to the temple, you get prasad. That's what Prabhupada's actually saying if you take the trouble to look at all the quotations relevant and not just pull a few sentences and stick them together with a few other sentences that you've pulled from here and you've pulled from there. When you look at the thing in its entirety, you get a different picture. Okay? That's a mini course in the proper use and misuse of quotations. Any questions?
I wanted to talk about Srila Prabhupada's vision for his Hyderabad project. And let me find my place here. It shouldn't take me too long. Prabhupada received, let's see, where is that thing? Hold on 1 second. In 1976, Srila Prabhupada received some land. By the middle or end of November, I may be going to Hyderabad. There we have got 600 acres of land to develop a farm project. As we are doing in Mayapur and many other places, I want to develop self-sufficient centers with cloth and food production by the devotees locally and save time as much as possible to devote themselves to chant Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada had a vision for social upliftment, a very broad and a very powerful vision for social upliftment. That powerful vision extends far beyond the idea of merely going to poor areas and giving prasada. It's a much more comprehensive program. It's a much more much deeper program, a program with much more spiritual significance and power, and I'd like to read a little bit about it. Here's a letter illustrating the principle to some extent in a letter to Jaya Pataka Maharaj, co-director of Mayapur, in September of 1976. So that's right around the same time. Regarding our proposal for West Bengal, West Bengal people may come and join us without any distinction of caste and creed. The occupation will be according to one's capacity. They will be employed in cottage industry, backed by spiritual advancement of life, to understand the mission of human life or relationship with God and act accordingly. The idea is that we are prepared to give all facility for maintenance of the body without sinful activities like illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Everyone should live peacefully in healthy condition of life with the purpose of advancing in spiritual consciousness. In this concept, we can accept anyone from any part of the world, what to speak of West Bengal, and give them shelter, food, occupation, and enlightenment. The letter goes on. In fact, the rest of the letter is the quotation that you find. It's the same letter regarding food distribution. Oh, well, I'll read. I'm wrong. There's two sentences more. Regarding hand loom, can they not produce fine cloth? Fine cloth will be received in any part of the world. Regarding food distribution, they may come to take at our temple. With traveling sankirtan, we can distribute wherever we go, but not to the emergency spot like that. So it's interesting that this letter, a portion of this letter, has been quoted to, or rather ignored, as we push on a program that Srila Prabhupada contraindicated, at least, that he said not to do. And while we push on that program that Srila Prabhupada said not to do, we're neglecting this very powerful program that Srila Prabhupada is explaining back in 1976. What, nearly 30 years ago? 25 years ago. Very powerful vision that Srila Prabhupada had, that everyone can come and we engage them according to their capability. It's Prabhupada's vision of Varnashram. Everyone has some occupation. We have some land. Let them come. And let them live on the land. And they have to follow four regulative principles. We are prepared to give all facility for maintenance of the body without sinful activities like intoxication, illicit sex, meeting, and gambling. Come live with us. Follow these four rules. Everyone should live peacefully in healthy condition of life with the purpose of advancing in spiritual consciousness. The occupation will be according to one's capacity. Regarding handloom, can they not produce fine cloth? You see, this is what Prabhupada had in mind, that some of them could be weaving cloth, some of them can be engaged in some other simple industry, some of them can be engaged in agriculture, some of them can be engaged in cow protection, some of them can be engaged in temple construction, some of them can be engaged this way, that way. Let them all be engaged. Let them all have the necessities of life. Let them all have prasadam. Let them all chant Hare Krishna. Live peacefully and happily in Krishna consciousness and be enlightened. Huh? Is it not a nice program? Is it not superior to going to the needy and hungry villages and coming in with a truck and giving them prasadam and going away? Or giving your prasadam to the St. Vincent de Paul Society for them to give out to needy people? Such a difference between that program and this program. And this program still is not implemented. We have a long way to go before we see this program in place. Yes? This was a letter to Jayapataka Maharaj, 28 September 1976. Concerning Mayapur. Yeah, actually Prabhupada didn't say they have to chant. I think he expected that they would chant. But give them occupation, give them the necessities of life, and Prabhupada said, shelter, food, occupation, and enlightenment. So enlightenment, one of the first things we enlighten you about is the need to chant Hare Krishna. So I think Prabhupada expected that also. But it's not... he doesn't seem to be requiring here, let them first chant 16 rounds, then they can come. Let them come, be engaged, occupation, no sinful activities, chant Hare Krishna. That's the vision. Yes?
It is clear from the seminar that Prabhupada was quite strict about certain principles that he... that we would have to work with. But a few years ago, I read in the Shikshamrita, and it was on an answer to a Greek husband who asked Prabhupada if they could sell leather belts and hush pipes. Prabhupada, he said that they could do that. I don't know if they were with Dodi. They were associated with Hare Krishna movement while they were selling those paraphernalia. But I'm wondering, could you give us your vision about why Prabhupada...
Of course, I haven't seen the quotation. I'm not quite sure of the context. But in general, people have occupations. And those occupations are not always pure. I could cite another example of a devotee who owned... family of devotees who owned a chain of stores, and part of their business was selling liquor. And Prabhupada knew it, but Prabhupada never said anything about it. It's understood that occupations are not always clean. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya said, sthane stitas shrutigatam tanuvan manopir. That we don't try to change your occupation, we try to change your consciousness. Even Prabhupada mentioned someplace, we may not hate even the prostitutes if they are devotees of Krishna. Somehow or other, by the laws of karma, the person has gotten that occupation. But still, she can think of Krishna. So it doesn't mean that now, all right, we have a new program. Sex for life program. But even a person whose occupation may not be very glorious can be engaged in the service of Krishna. And we give more attention to that development of Krishna consciousness than to trying to rectify the faults of their occupation. Gradually everything will come straight. Okay? Now there's another letter. Srila Prabhupada is talking to Giriraj Maharaj. This is not a letter, it's a conversation. The time was 1977, January 8th, Bombay. First of all, we must attract people, then give them prasad. Prabhupada says, in that area, in Tana, they drink at night. Prabhupada said, let them do whatever nonsense they are doing. Let them chant and take prasad. We don't mind what they are doing. That is later on. See? That is later on. When I was chanting in Tompkinson Park, I never asked them that, don't come here, you are drinking. Everyone was drinking. I know that. Everyone had illicit sex. They were coming with their boyfriend, girlfriend. I didn't know that. Was I going to restrict them? Let them come, chant Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stressed on this, mass kirtan every night. He was not speaking philosophy. Philosophy with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, not with the mass of people. Mass of people, come on, chant, give prasad. What they will understand, philosophy. Giriraj, they won't understand, Prabhupada. Mass of people, let them chant and dance and take prasadam. So these centers are being opened for mass movement as well as class movement. In the village, hardly you'll get good educated men. So there's no question of philosophy. Give them chance of chanting and take prasad. It is useless to talk before them our philosophy. They'll never understand. But they will understand prasadam. Prasad is so nice. If there are a few grains of prasad, even the crows will come. The condemned bird, he will also come. Do like this. And Prabhupada Hamsa Dutta says, I think Mahamsa, who is in charge of the Hyderabad farm, would rather manage the farm himself. So this is a tangential comment. Prabhupada, I do not know, but manage somehow or other. I want that prasadam distribution must go on. People should come in numbers. Increase. Whatever you can produce, spend for that purpose. We are not going to produce foodstuff for our starving. It is for them. When they'll understand, they'll work voluntarily. Yes, it's for us. We are not capitalists. So here you get the insight that Srila Prabhupada planned to engage these people in agriculture and feed them the same thing they grew. You see? They do the work. They raise the crops. Then it's offered to Krishna and they take. Not that like the normal capitalist system. We engage you on the land. You work. We take the results of the work. We sell it. We get money. We pay you a few paisa. And that's our program. We become rich and you go to hell. That's the capitalist program, because they don't give a damn for anybody. Just let's get money. And Prabhupada's program was, let them have a work, place to stay, spiritual enlightenment, and they'll grow food, and they'll be the ones who eat the food. Therefore, Prabhupada says, when they'll understand, they'll work voluntarily. Just see Prabhupada's vision. See the difference. See the whole difference. They're capitalism. And Prabhupada has what he called spiritual communism. Everything belongs to Krishna. And you work and you get what you need and you offer to Krishna. You offer to Krishna and you enjoy. Not just little something, we give you a book or we give you a mantra or we give you prasadam. We give you your whole life. Occupation, food, place to live, enlightenment, everything. This is another part of a conversation with Rameshwar Maharaj that we quoted earlier. This was in Allahabad, again, 1977. Prabhupada was stressing on this just in early days of 1977, particularly. There was some scheme for selling records. So Ramachar says, in America, if we collect money saying we are sending it to India, If we tell them we're sending it to build temples in India, they will not give one penny. They think India has too many temples. They need money for food, for technology. Prabhupada. So we can take money for food. That is also our program. Well, I'm going to try to develop this record business. I think we can make $1 million a year profit. And send it to our farms. And we invite, come here, take prasadam. Oh, the farm communities. Oh, not just food relief, but also developing the farm communities. Harisari says, that's food relief. Very good comment from Harisari. That's food relief. Not just going to here and there and feeding the hungry, starving people. Prabhupada said, send it for our farms and invite, come here, take prasadam. And Ramesha says, oh, the farm communities, not just food relief, developing the farm projects. Harishari, who is Prabhupada's assistant, not secretary, servant, he says, that's food relief. Prabhupada said, now my project is that we shall actually give them food, shelter, and Ramishara, cottages, little cottages, Prabhupada, and cloth, whatever primary necessities and simple living, and let them chant. Ramishara, they chant and also work the fields. Prabhupada, so, in the beginning, if they are not working, they'll work. We shall supply food, everything. That is beginning. In Hyderabad, they are coming daily, 200 people. Ramishara, 200 people were coming every day. Prabhupada, every day. And that is little, simple prasadam. Little khichdi would satisfy them. They're village people. Ramishara. So they have to have a regular source of income. Prabhupada, yes. And so long there is no income, I shall supply food or money. Ramishara. This year I think we can spend some time developing this record business. I'm sure we can make money. Prabhupada, yes, make money. With very little manpower, Prabhupada, and send. Send grains, food grains, and we shall utilize it in all our temples and farm projects in the beginning. Then, naturally, they'll produce. And as soon as they become a little interested in our scheme, they'll give service. You see? Distribute prasadam, let them come, not you go there to their poor place, let them stay in the hole that they're in, working as karmis, rotting without any Krishna consciousness. Let them come, we'll give them prasadam, and then, when they see the idea, voluntarily, they'll work. And then you saw Prabhupada's program. They can make cloth. They can do some agriculture. I'll give them food. I'll give them a place to stay. I'll give them everything. And let them chant Hare Krishna and live simply with the real necessities of life. And Prabhupada said, actually, India is poor. When we give food, how voraciously they eat. They cannot eat. They have no resources to eat nicely at home. That's a fact. Half fed. At least half fed. In the villages, they are not fully fed. They have no sufficient clothing, no food, that's all. The rascal politicians, realizing heavy tax, and that is divided amongst them, it is not going to the poor. They are imitating Western way of life. They have got huge expenditure. So whatever money is coming, they are spending for their luxury. And poor men, nobody is thinking everyone will be happy. That we are thinking because we are devotees. Otherwise, what is the use of my going to America? America is not in need of me, but I found there is need of me. So they are thinking, this man has come to wash our brains. And I think, yes, we are going to do that work. They will be happy. Whatever income you'll get from this record business, spend it for giving prasadam. We have got so many centers, they will feed. Therefore, I started Mayapur, this prasad distribution, and it is coming to be successful. Politicians are appreciating that here is Hindu-Muslim unity. Ramashar, all the devotees will appreciate this then, that the records now, the money is going to be used for food relief. Prabhupada, yes, and we can increase. The same thing in the farm, in the village. Come on, any number, I shall feed you. Come here, chant Hare Krishna, and take prasad. And we shall increase the quality of the prasad. They will be very much pleased to come and chant. That I want. I am interested in these rascals. And then Prabhupada, I've quoted this before, I used to think like that, In all our temples, the prasadam distribution should be so random that within 10 miles, nobody should remain hungry. There are many persons in India, they are half-time hungry. So if you distribute prasadam, come over here. You are hungry, take prasadam. If I cannot supply daily, I'll supply at least 2 days, 3 days weekly. And they're coming. You have seen Mayapur. Big prasadam distribution hall. Regular, 2,000s are coming. And Hindu, Muslim, they're sitting down. Let them eat. This is prasadam distribution as Srila Prabhupada envisioned it. Mass distribution of prasadam, but not emergency areas, some imitating the Red Cross, St. Vincent de Paul, Salvation Army. We have our own program, a very deep, deep program for spiritual advancement and simple living. And Prabhupada was pushing. You'll remember another famous quotation, that half my mission is still to be accomplished, this Varnashram. So here you see the Varnashram and the prasadam distribution in that context. It's not some other thing. It all, Prabhupada had a, there's a picture, there's a context to what Prabhupada was saying. And if you put it all together again, you see something very much bigger than what we've been seeing so far and attending to so far. You see a very big program that can spread and spread and spread probably in all of our temples, all over the world. Let them come, take prasadam, give them occupation, give them cloth, give them food, let them chant Hare Krishna and be enlightened. That's our program. Any questions? You'll need a lot of men for that program. You'll need a lot of men for that program. And that's probably the vision. Okay, I think we're out of time. Thank you all very much. Oh, there you are. We'll see you tomorrow. Hare Krishna.